If you would please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 8 to verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 16. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, I believe that's found on page 840. Here's what God's Word says. Deacons, likewise, are to be men of worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women of worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of one wife, must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served will gain an excellent standing and a great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of the goodness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. Great words. Look forward to hearing what God touches our hearts with this morning. God bless.
Thank you, team, for sharing that beautiful song with us this morning. All who are thirsty. Jesus declared, if anyone who is thirsty, let them come and drink of the well of life freely. The water of life that he gives, and they shall never thirst again. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3. This morning, you'll note we're making a couple of changes in our worship service. I'll probably cover a couple of these things with you now, and then we won't have to do it later while I have your attention. We're going to trust you to read your bulletins. All right? We're going to kind of back off on wasting that amount of time early in the service of making all those announcements and that kind of thing, and then having people say, I don't remember what time was that or what time was this or that kind of thing. Just check your bulletins, and you'll have them with you and be able to do that. So, but we want to be able to make our 10:45 service a service of worship where we really begin to settle in to preparing our hearts and our minds for worship. And so we are making some adjustments. I believe that these things are ordered of the Lord and that the Lord is going to bless and he is going to honor those changes. And so we just kind of throw that out to you. Since we didn't announce this beforehand, I'm going to announce it now. There is a dinner immediately following the service over in the fellowship hall. And for the new council members, the ones who are going to be installed here in a little bit, we need to have a very brief meeting immediately following this service. There is a situation that has come up that we need to be able to look at and see what we can do as a church. So, council members, please, if your name is listed in the bulletin as a part of the council, and you'll note in your bulletin that there is a list of folks in there that the congregation has trusted with leadership, you are on that abbreviated council until we have a chance to meet our first council meeting tomorrow night and really be able to put together the complete council. So keep that in mind. And a week from Wednesday night is going to be our annual local conference with the superintendent. So we'll announce that today as well. So please keep those things in mind. This morning, as I was considering the election of officers and the installation of officers, my mind went to this particular passage regarding deacons and deaconesses in the early church. These particular individuals were people who were brought in as lay leaders, as those who were not necessarily going to be over-shepherds. They weren't going to be seeking ordination and that kind of thing, not looking at pastoral ministry, but overseeing the work of the church and the ministry of the church. And as the new church was being established, and as Paul was writing to Timothy, he was trying to give this young preacher some instruction as to the character of individuals in order to be elevated to positions of leadership. And he was trying to as well let him realize that there's a tremendous responsibility that goes with leadership. I want to read this particular passage to you out of the New American Standard. If you have that translation, I'd like you to follow along. If you don't have, I'd just like you to listen, because it reads a little differently than the NIV. The intent is the same, but it just reads a little differently. So Paul writes this to the young preacher, beginning at verse 8. He says, "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity." Not double-tongued. You know what a double-tongued person is? They're a person who says one thing one place and something else somewhere else. We refer to them as liars. All right? They can't be double-tongued and be in leadership. "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine, or fond of sordid gain." In other words, they have to be people of integrity, people of honor, people who are going to be honest, people who are going to be faithful, "but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, pure, if you will, before God. And let these also first be tested." Interesting little word, tested. It doesn't mean taking a pen and a paper and writing it out. It means let them be evaluated, let them be judged by the whole. But we're told not to judge. No, but we are told to inspect fruit. The fruit is not there, they shouldn't be in leadership. And so, Paul is very clear with that when it comes to this regard of leadership within the body. He says, let them first be tested. You know, if a person is going to be one thing outside the walls of the church and something else inside the walls of the church, that doesn't mean they shouldn't come to church. It just means they shouldn't be a leader. Understand that. The best place for that person is to be in church, where they can hear the Word of God and God can be able to speak to them and bring about some changes. But if they're going to be the type of an individual that is Paul mentions here, if they're going to be not people of dignity, if they're going to be double-tongued, saying one thing here and something else out there, or one thing to this person, something else to that person, if they're going to be that kind of an individual, they shouldn't be a leader. That they shouldn't be drunks. And they shouldn't be cheaters. And that's what it means, not fond of sordid gain. Gain which is not proper. But holding instead to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Let these be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. If they're beyond reproach. For an individual is not beyond reproach, they shouldn't be a leader. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And this is kind of an interesting verse of Scripture because it's referring to, it's kind of a double thing here. It's referring to those women who are going to be leaders in the church, but also it's referring to the wives of the men who are leaders. In other words, a deacon's whole family has to be brought in subjection and evaluated, because the wives affect the ministry as well. And so if a woman wants to be a leader, she must be above reproach, the same as a guy. She can't be addicted to wine. She can't be contentious, divisive, any of those things that a man is not allowed to be either. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their own household. Good managers of their children. It's an important, important aspect. Understand, being a good manager of children doesn't mean that they can't have a wayward child. A wayward child is going to happen. That doesn't disqualify them from service. Look at the life of Samuel. But they still have to be a good leader in the home. They still have to be men of respect. They still have to be men of discipline, and keeping their children honorable in that fashion. Not necessarily that the children have to be believers. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. They have served well as deacons. They obtain for themselves. In other words, they are blessed with a high standing. And that high standing means that people respect and they honor and God blesses. Those of you who have been elected to office, are you listening to this? You have a congregation who has placed their confidence in you to be upstanding individuals, to be able to lead this church into the future in a way that honors God and in a way that is a blessing to this community. So that they have great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Paul continues, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of faith, or the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Timothy, if you look back at the qualifications for bishops in the beginning of the third chapter, you'll see the reference to overseer. That refers to pastors. That refers to those who are going to be taking responsibility for the spiritual welfare and leadership of a church. And so he is talking to them. And then he adds to it then as well the lay leadership that is involved in the positions of deacons and deaconesses. And then he says, look, I want to talk to you face to face about these things, but in case I get delayed, remember, Paul didn't exactly have freedom. After he became a follower of Christ and a planter of churches, he spent more time in jail than he spent in ministry. And so he never knew from one time to the next. I'm going to send you this letter because, boy, I don't know what's going to happen in the next city I go to. And so he's saying, look, I'm writing these so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. How should a person act as a part of the body of Christ? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Folks, we have been entrusted with the truth of the Word of God, with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. We have been entrusted with pure doctrine, with the purity of faith. We have been entrusted with carrying on the message of Jesus Christ. We have been entrusted to be honorable individuals in the community and, in fact, in this world. And if we are to succeed as a congregation, we must honor the Word of God. It's been entrusted to us, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Verse 16, and by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, in other words, as Jesus. Beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. There's the common confession about the mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ left heaven to be born here, lived honorably, lived righteously, was rejected, crucified, dead, rose from the grave, ascended back to the Father, and has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to lead us into all truth. And he holds us responsible for that truth. Leaders, you haven't been elected because of a popularity contest. You have been entrusted with the truth of God. This congregation is trusting you to be honorable in every aspect of your life. Your willingness to serve opens yourself up to examination by people. This congregation has a right to know that their leaders are people of honor, are people of integrity, are people of faithfulness. This congregation has a right to know that as leaders, you can be trusted to seek God's will and to seek His direction in your life and in every decision that you make that affects this congregation. This congregation has a right to know that you are going to strive for unity and not for division. that you're going to strive for building the faith, not tearing it down. That you're going to strive for integrity and honor, not for dishonor. They have a right to know, because they are entrusting you with their spiritual future. Leaders, keep that in mind. What I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to read the names of those who have been elected. And I'm going to ask you to come up and kind of line up here in the front. You'll have to avoid stuff, but kind of line up here in the front. First of all, as a lay leader and financial secretary, we're going to ask Randy Troyer to please come forward. Assistant Financial Secretary John Doc Lyon. Is Doc here? Would you please see that everyone gets one of those? Second Assistant Financial Secretary Bill Paul. Church Treasurer, Greg Cutshaw. Assistant Church Treasurer is Shirley Lyon, and she's not here either? Okay. Sunday School Superintendent, Lori Chase. Sunday School Secretary Treasurer, Becky Foster. Assistant Sunday School Secretary Treasurer, Diane Schreckengost. Church Librarian, Debbie Mead. Three trustees have been elected. John Foster, J.W. Lyon, Shane Wasink. Head usher, Keith Deitch. Vacation Bible School chairman is also Lori Chase. She's already here. Church pianist, Sylvia Williams. Church organist, Gladys Chelton. Communion steward is Joanne Chase. Nursery superintendent, Kara Williams. The mission superintendent is also Becky Foster. Flower chairman is Gladys Chelton. Assistant flower chairman, Don Jaquith. Worship committee chairman, Linda Willis. Song leader, Matt Chase. And our church historian is probably at work, Bethany Troyer. Also, I would like these to come. Assistant pastor, youth representative, as a youth representative, Homer Williams. FBIG representative would be Mary Jo Schweitzer. Now stand in by proxy. Everybody smile at Mary Jo when she turns around. Secretary S. Lynette Willis. Folks, these are your leaders. I encourage you to pray for them. They have a tremendous amount of responsibility that comes with the privilege of leadership. They cannot effectively do their areas of ministry and work without your prayer support and without mine. If this church is to be the lighthouse that God intends it to be for this community, these who stand before you must honor God in every aspect of their lives. Any area of dishonor dishonors the kingdom of Christ. They can be honorable as you pray. The Bible tells us, pray one for another. And that becomes important for each of us to be able to succeed and to be what God wants us to be as a church. I'm going to ask these leaders to please face the front of the church. Christian friends, it has pleased this congregation to elect you to important positions of leadership for the coming year. We have confidence that you will prove yourselves to be workmen that need not be ashamed. It is a great honor to be chosen to administer and supervise the work of the church. It is also a grave responsibility. We trust that you will not only appreciate the honor, but that you will so faithfully meet the duties and responsibilities of your offices that the work of the church may greatly prosper under your administration and supervision. Please listen to the Word of God as it's recorded in Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45, and Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Mark 10. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In order that those who have chosen you may know your purpose and your mind in these matters, it is proper that you avow your faith and purpose by answering the following questions. Do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? And do you accept Him as the Lord of your life, the final authority in all matters of faith and practice? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Will you endeavor, through the grace of God, to frame and fashion your life so that your daily walk and conversation shall be such as are worthy of the positions you occupy? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Will you faithfully execute the office to which you have been called in accordance with the Word of God and the discipline of the Evangelical Church? If so, answer, I will. And finally, will you be faithful to attend the services of the church and thereby set an example to promote growth and Christian unity? If so, answer, I will. You have before you a responsive reading. At this time, we will read responsively. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each belongs to all the others. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach.
If it is encouraging, let him encourage.
If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously.
If it is in leadership, let him govern diligently.
If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord.
So neither he who plants nor he who waters is of anything, but only God who makes things grow.
For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building.
Each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than
so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God.
Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. His grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time.
I hereby charge you, as you enter your duties of office with sincere supplication for strength, that you fail not, with supreme devotion, that you may be true to that end. I charge this congregation that as Aaron and Hur upheld the hands of Moses, so you support and strengthen these officers with your cooperation and your earnest prayer. By the authority vested in me as a minister of the Evangelical Church, I do now install you each in his office according to the laws, rules, regulations of this church, and in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we pray? And now, our Father, Creator of the Church, our Lord Jesus, foundation upon who the Church is built, and Holy Spirit, the one whom brings life to the Church. May each of these, as they have declared their purpose, to serve as leaders, may each of them be continually reminded day by day of the fact that you are the great shepherd of the church. May they be reminded that they, as under shepherds of the church, are held in high regard by these who have elected them. And Father, that those whom they lead are trusting them in every aspect to be honorable in every fashion. And so, Father, I lift to you each one of these who are leaders and pray that your wisdom, your power, your spirit, and your love might rest and abide upon them and fill them with hope and joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And now, may the grace of the Father, the love of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon you, fill you with all wisdom and peace. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for your willingness to serve this great congregation. Thank you for the gifts that you are willing to use that God has gifted you with. Thank you for your promises to pray, to encourage, and to support one another in the ministries of this church. May God grant you all fruit for your labors. You may return to your seats. All except Matt can return to your seats. And Sylvia and Gladys. I just want to give you a couple of quick reminders as we close the service. Immediately following the service, there's a luncheon over in the fellowship hall, and the ladies have graciously decided to put that together, and so you're all welcome to come on over and share in that time. And council members, those of you who are newly elected, and the list is in the bulletin, if your name's on that list, please come to this meeting. The council's not complete yet, because there's still some elections that have to take place when the superintendent comes. So once he comes, we'll have everything finalized. So just want to